Tom Brown is with us on Sports Byline. He has authored a wonderful book called Low and in the Dirt, Ken Griffey Jr. and Me. Tom, do you remember the moment, the day, the incident in which you realized things had turned, they had changed for you and your relationship with Ken?
Well, it's going to sound kind of crazy, but Kenny had bought a Ferrari F40 from me, which at that point in time was, you know, they were trading for around $1 million, maybe a little bit less. One day I got a phone call from him, and he said, you know, something's wrong with the car. Would you come down and help me? And so I went down personally with my brother to pick it up, and Ken would always meet me outside. Make a long story short, I see the F40 sitting in the kingdom, keys laying in the seat. And, you know, he didn't have, obviously I had no communication with him aside from the phone call that day. So I drove back to the dealership, and I called him, and he was just very, very, very distant on the phone. And, you know, I said, okay, well, we'll have your car done, you know, so on and so forth. And at that point, you know, I didn't hear from that day, which was very unusual for Ken because we spent virtually every day together. So I thought something was up, and I talked to Ken Sr. Ken Sr. said, well, no, it's nothing. It's probably just you thinking something is wrong. He says, everything's fine. But, you know, everybody has those gut feelings, you know, when you know something is wrong. And that was kind of the first. You don't just leave a $1 million car laying around with the keys laying in the driver's seat. And like I said, that was kind of the first day that I realized something was happening.
You know, the other thing I was thinking about as I've been listening to you talk is that invariably when somebody gets into an atmosphere like that where it can become rather heady and you're around powerful people, you're doing something and somebody appreciates what you're doing, you almost become addicted. Did you feel like you were addicted to the Ken Griffey situation?
I won't say I was addicted to it. I'll say that I was so far into protecting him, protecting his family, trying to protect my family, trying to protect myself, and the contract being so valuable, I suppose addiction could be one word. Self-preservation certainly was another one. I had to preserve everything that I possibly could. It was a 24/7 job. You know, one thing I'll tell you that really was a tailspin was in that contract, again, on your website, there is a full page dedicated to a man by the name of Anthony Pacioco Tolentino. Anthony Pacioco Tolentino was at least he said, and through further investigation, you know, we verified, he was part of a crime family out of Florida. And he's a bona fide mobster. There is a full page dedicated to this man on the contract, and I don't know if you've read it, Ron, but I'll kind of give you a brief summary that he was paid a salary out of my pocket. He was given a new car out of my pocket. He was given a new home out of my pocket. He was given spending money out of my pocket. And the moment I began to ask who was this man, I was told, you do not ask about it. And that was the end of that.
Why would you give all this money to people out of your pocket, as you said, knowing what Ken Griffey Jr. was making as far as salary? I mean, at some point, it was costing you an awful lot. And I would think that just from an intelligence standpoint, you would realize that, Tom, and say, enough is enough. That's it.
Well, I had that contract. And I had to appease the family at any point. Ken knew that I was spending a great deal of money. I mean, there were, he couldn't not know it. I mean, he knew that I was paying people. I was paying people off on his behalf. I was obviously paying his friends. I mean, probably, 35,000 a month for everything they were getting. I believe that Ken was like a lot of very successful people, so much money coming in, so much attention given to him that he would go around town. Kenny had a lot of, I won't say unpaid debts, but, you know, people in the industry that I was in, automotive, you know, he would go in and just expect things for free. He didn't have his checkbook open to pay a lot of his debts. Now, I, on the other hand, was a little different, close friend. That could very well be my fault at that moment because I didn't ask.
once his friends kind of closed around him and you were pushed to the outside, tell me about what happened with you, because, you know, they say in the book, you say in the book, you'd face threats from his agent and also extortion conspiracies from both Griffey and Brown's former business associates who were persuaded to work against you.
Well, now, can you kind of boil that down a little bit?
I mean, well, tell me how they tried to influence you and what they did to you.
Well, okay, that again, that's pretty much the nucleus of it. It wasn't so much influence me as it was to destroy me. Let me just preface that by saying, like, why do you want to destroy that man? You want to destroy that man for one simple reason. Well, I could be destroyed, or I could just simply walk away, which was not going to happen. Everything from Planet Hollywood to the bank to other people to Brian Goldberg in Cincinnati. Brian Goldberg being a new attorney / sports agent out of Cincinnati acquired Ken Griffey Jr. through just a chance meeting with Ken Griffey Sr. in a class at a college, a night course, I believe was computer class. Ken Griffey Sr. told Brian Goldberg, I have a son, may not amount to much, you're welcome to represent him. Well, we all know the ending of the story there. They had to get rid of me simply because I have a contract that would equate to 15 years, basically his professional career, and it didn't involve him on the field, but it involved a great deal of things off the field. Again, I've told people I could put his name on anything from, you know, peanut butter to pajamas. It was just a phenomenal contract that has never was seen before that and never will be seen again. Was it a mistake on Brian's part? I won't say it was a mistake. I'd say that he gave it to me out of, friendship for what I had done. I was doing, I'm not going to say 90% of his job, but I was doing a great deal of his job, keeping his client Kenny out of trouble, making sure that he would get to television, shoots, different things like that, that Brian had no control over. The only reason I had control over Ken is just our close friendship. So as a whole, Brian Goldberg realized he had to get that contract back. Now, was that a realization on his own? No, I don't think Brian was smart enough for that. I think he had to be told by Bank of America and the other larger entities that were into it. Again, you have to go to the website to actually see, what's really there. There's so much actual meat and large influences that Tom Brown had to go. There's no way I could stay. And like I say, in retrospect, that contract was, at the time I thought it was winning the lottery, no, that was the worst thing that ever happened to me.
You paid a high price for this personally. Tell everybody what happened to you.
Well, there isn't not only a day, and I don't mean to sound, I didn't get to see my little boy grow up. I didn't get to see my little girl grow up, and I had a beautiful, wonderful wife, and I had a great family and a great life. And I do see my children, and they love me, and I love them. But, Ron, I got to tell you, it's awful. It's excruciating. There's songs on the radio, like, as crazy as may sound, Cats in the Cradle by Harry Chapin. I can't listen to that song. The pain is more than you can imagine. I would give this all if I could just have my family back.
You know, when you take a look at this, you waited, 15 years to come out with this book? What was the reasoning there?
Well, my friends said I was crazy. My business associates said I was crazy. That I really thought Junior, being as close as he was to myself, my family, would come through. People obviously say, come on now. After the first year, you would have realized. Maybe the second year, maybe the fifth year. No, for me, it took a very long time. And as crazy as this sounds, right now, as I'm speaking to you, I just wonder if somebody or something will strike a chord in his heart to see if he understands what he really caused. I think he knows, but I think that I don't really know if he really truly understands. I didn't just lose money. I lost everything. I mean, my children are the most important things in my life. People say, oh, you could be at their birthday parties, you could be here. You know, I'm a pretty proud guy. And when I don't have any money in my pocket to buy my children presents because it all went to a former baseball player, I'm sorry, Ron. I don't know what else to tell you. I mean, it just destroyed me. I'm still trying to recover to this day.
What type of reaction have you gotten from the book?
A lot of shock and awe. You know, there are people out here that will not believe that Ken Griffey Jr. could do that. Other people have said things that, you know, were a little shocking to me, like, oh, yeah, we knew him like that, or we knew he could do that, or he treats people like that. You know, I can't say what he's done to other people, and I'm not even going to speculate on that. I just know what he did to me, and I know that other people are behind me, and other people simply are not behind me.
I think anybody, and I've even thought this as I've been talking to you, Tom, is wondering how it went on for such a long time, and it didn't come out before this book.
Well, obviously, I can't speculate on that. He has very good people around him. Again, people go, well, he doesn't do interviews. He's a very private person. I'll tell you, they caught up with him one day at Coors Field and asked him about me, and all he said was something to the effect, it's no big deal. That hurt. I really think that he's very... The only skeleton that Ken Griffey Jr. has in his closet that I know about is this one, and it's a pretty doggone big skeleton. And as far as the Hall of Fame goes, I had people ask me, is this going to keep him out of the Hall of Fame? I don't wish that upon him, but I know that all Pete Rose did was bet on baseball. Ken Griffey Jr. committed felony extortion. There's 3 years left on that statute of limitations for him and Brian. Now, nobody's above the law.
Can you explain that a little bit further? Because that's a strong allegation.
Oh, it's a very strong allegation. It's not just an allegation. It's a fact. The documents are on that website that we have, and any rational person will look at these documents and put them together and say, yep, this actually happened. It was just it's a squeeze play. What he did was, this is really very simple, between him and Brian, and those are the only two names I'll use right now, maybe Mr. Pasioko got together and, okay, how are we going to get rid of Tom? Well, my understanding is there's a certain statute of limitations for a state offense. There's entirely other, timelines for federal offenses. Now, Brian Goldberg was in Cincinnati. Ken Griffey Jr. was in Washington State. The minute they made those phone calls, aside from conspiracy, it was interstate. It's a federal charge. So he committed felony extortion. Now, so did Brian Goldberg and whoever else was involved. When you take something from somebody with force, that's extortion. They're going to go, no, we paid Tom $250,000. Well, on that webpage and in the book, simply explains how they did it. That's a wonderful thing to say. Oh, we gave him $250,000. He should be happy. No, I didn't see virtually any of that money, and they made sure I didn't see any of that money. Am I sounding a little angry right now? It's starting to get to me a little bit because now the fog, believe it or not, after all these years is clearing. I don't want any harm to come to him, but I want the truth to come out now, and people need to understand what happened. It's a horrible, horrible thing, and I hope it never happens to anybody else.
Tom, in 30 seconds, now he's in retirement. What's his life like? Do you have any idea at all from anybody you talk to or you just have heard?
Well, I do know people that are around him. His life is actually very good. He has his sons and his daughter, and Melissa and him are still together. Again, the plan is to bring him back to the Mariners and have him be coach. Since this book has come out, that's been a little askew. My understanding is that people are kind of taking maybe a second look. Whether they believe the book or not, that's not the issue. The fact is that it's out there. And, again, the Mariners, Cooperstown, all these people get together and say, well, what's going on here? And I think the proof is in the pudding.
Tom, thank you very much for joining us. It's a fascinating story and also a fascinating book. Take care.
Thank you, Ron.
Tom Brown has joined us on Sports Byline. The name of the book is Low and In the Dirt, Ken Griffey Jr. and Me, a true story of extortion, corruption, and the destruction of life. And, of course, Ken Griffey Jr., the star player who is probably bound for the Hall of Fame. We continue across the country and around the world. We've got you on America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline.